what? When I was a little girl, I would sometimes arrive down into the kitchen in the morning time, and my father would say to me, "Ah, Susan, you just missed him. He was in here in the kitchen during the night, playing some music and kicking up his heels with some of his friends. He made a right mess in the kitchen. Ah, but if you had been down here 2 minutes ago, you might have seen him. He's gone now." My father was talking about a leprechaun by the name of Lugene Mac Lu that supposedly visited our kitchen in the wee hours of the night. Would you believe that I lived in that house for the first 22 years of my life and I never caught a glimpse of him? Not even once. That's what you get for taking too long to get out of the bed in the morning. There are different people living in that house now. I wonder, does Lugene Mac Lu still visit there occasionally? Or did he move on to a different home when we all left? It's hard to tell with leprechauns. They can be fairly tricky. Stories handed down from one generation to the next for hundreds of years explain that many leprechauns spend a lot of their time making shoes. I'm going to guess that these shoes are usually black with little shiny buckles on them, because those are the kind that I see leprechauns wearing in books, at least. And I mean, if they are as teeny tiny as we're led to believe, these leprechauns can surely only make shoes for other leprechauns. Who makes their socks, though? Or their little green hats? I never hear anything about where those things come from. Another mystery. Book that mentions a leprechaun appears in the medieval tale known as The Adventure of Fergus. That book contains a chapter in which Fergus, who is the king of Ulster, he falls asleep on the beach. And he wakes to find himself being dragged into the sea by three leprechauns. I think it was the freezing cold water that woke him, actually. You have to be pretty tough to be able to go swimming outdoors in Ireland. Luckily, Fergus was able to capture them. Well, come on, I mean, they're tiny, after all. And they ended up making a deal. Fergus agreed to let them go if they granted him three wishes. It doesn't say if he wished that he wouldn't keep falling asleep on the beach anymore, but sure, it's likely that he wished for a lifetime of insomnia after that episode. The actual book tells us that he definitely wished to be able to breathe underwater. And supposedly, the leprechauns were able to give him that superpower. Well, they were fairly desperate to be let go, of course. Sure, they'd have given him anything he asked for, except a pair of shoes. They only make small ones, Remember. Lots of famous Irish writers and poets have given us their opinions on what these leprechauns actually look like. W.B. Yeats wrote that they wear special jackets with 7 rows of buttons and that each row has 7 buttons. Are you any good with multiplication? Not everyone agrees with that, however. David Russell McAnally says that they have to wear overcoats because it's always windy and raining in Ireland. And he has a point, I'll give him that. Well, it doesn't matter what anyone says anyway, because no one has officially seen a leprechaun except my dad. Well, that's the impression he gave me. It's an awful pity that I forgot to ask him what Lou Jean McLou was actually wearing. So what will you be wearing for St. Patrick's Day, by the way? Do you have a green velvet leprechaun hat? I sometimes see people wearing them in Vienna on St. Patrick's Day. Yes, I really do. I guess Vienna has always been an interesting place for some Irish people to live, including one gentleman named Michael Kelly, who was born in Dublin, my hometown, more than 250 years ago. He arrived in Vienna way back in 1783, and he became good friends with Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. I wonder, did he ever sing any songs about leprechauns for Mozart? Well, he definitely impressed him with the singing because he got to be the first Irish person to sing in one of Mozart's operas, The Marriage of Figaro. I actually read about that when I visited the Mozart House Museum in the very centre of the city. And when I came out of that Mozart House, I stood there in Domgasse and I listened to the sound of the bells at Stephen's Dome Cathedral. And then, do you know what? I turned around and there he was. No, not a leprechaun. Just the man from the cloakroom to tell me I'd forgotten to collect my coat. Guys, it's still freezing here in Vienna this week. Stay warm and have a happy St. Patrick's Day wherever you're spending it. Banachtina Fela Padrig. Psst, don't fall asleep if you go to the beach.
Thank you very much. Good night, boys and girls. Kindly stand for our national anthem around the Veen. Good night, safe home. Thank you. Tear our all he could. Favor. Rosh Ar Fasta, the Ag Far, the Tirana, the Far, I'm of a Hames of Arnabwe, the Gan or Gwail, Con Bosh Dusa, the God of Misquag, the Lana Bala, Charlotte Cardi, Alana B.
Thank you so much to Joshua David Yardy, who produced this podcast and composed the music. You can find out more about Joshua at yardy.composer@gmail.com. Josh, I want to tell everybody that my name is Susan Shea, and you can learn a lot more about the city of Vienna, about how children learn. You can check out some fun family travel ideas, and you can celebrate this wonderful world at phoneticplanet.org.